Good morning, everyone. As Phil said, we're reading Hebrews chapter 1 and reading verses 1 to 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you this morning. And thank you to Phil for that prayer. And we're going to explore what God is saying to us through this passage. But first of all, I'll take off my face mask. Masks, I don't know about you, but I don't like them. Whoever would have thought they would have become such a normal part of everyday life in this country? I find them uncomfortable. They get all damp. And you can't hear what people are saying very clearly, can you? I think I can hear part of what they're saying, but I miss part as well. I think this partly because I can't see the person's face. And I think we all lip read a little bit more than we realised. Anyway, it's part of lockdown life, so we have to get on with it while we're living in this pandemic. Another part of lockdown life for many of us is Zoom, of course. And it's wonderful in many ways, means we can stay connected even if we're isolated in our own homes. But Zoom comes with its challenges as well. I watch the Downing Street press conferences quite often, and it amuses me to see how many times there is a reporter earnestly asking a question, only to be told by the Prime Minister or whoever's leading the meeting, "You need to unmute. You need to unmute." And in the prayer time before this service, I needed to unmute because I wasn't doing the right thing either. So it's just part of our lockdown life. Today's passage is all about God being unmasked and unmuted. It's all about him speaking to us with total clarity. We're continuing on our series, The Word of God, and we've explored the Word of God written and the Word of God spoken. And last week, Sheila powerfully started us off on the Word of God living with that amazing passage from the first chapter of John's Gospel. My title for today is God Speaks Through His Son. It is in his Son, Jesus, that God speaks, unmasked and unmuted. The original readers or hearers of this letter needed to know this in order to face all the difficulties of their situations. And we today need to know this in order to face our own challenging times and situations. Let's look at a little bit of the background to this letter of the Hebrews. There have been many theories and speculation about who wrote it, but actually only God knows that. The author doesn't identify him or herself. But scholars do think they know when it was written. They believe it was written before 70 AD to Hebrew or Jewish converts, probably against a background of persecution, when it was dangerous, even illegal, to be a Christian. And it's a passionate appeal to these people not to abandon their faith in Jesus, not to return to what may have seemed to them like the safety of Judaism, which was still legal and tolerated. Humanly speaking, it might have felt safer to just step back. The four verses of our reading are so powerful and they contain so much that is fundamental to our relationship with God. These verses are the introduction to a book that is all about Jesus and who he is. That he's fully human and fully God. That he's superior to angels, superior to everything and everyone that's gone before. And that through his life, death and resurrection, the only way to eternal life. The writer is urging these Hebrew Christians and us, as his disciples today, not to settle for less. Verse 1 speaks about God's relationship with his people in the past, of how he spoke to them through the prophets in many and various ways. Different prophets had different emphases, each offering fragments of God's revelation at different times, in different forms, over hundreds of years. All the prophecies and promises of the Old Testament were pointing towards the day when the Messiah would come and rescue God's people. And Jesus, of course, is that promised Messiah. All these fragments come together in him. All the promises and prophecies are fulfilled in him. Of course, we learn most about the life of Jesus from the New Testament, but he is the focus of the Old Testament scriptures as well. St. Augustine said, "The new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed." In the first lockdown, last March, I did something I thought I would never do. I bought a jigsaw. I always thought doing jigsaws was a waste of time. Bit like decorating cakes. What's the point when you inevitably break up the jigsaw and put it back in its box and you eat the cake? But anyway, after a few weeks of lockdown, I succumbed. And by that time, I didn't have much choice of a jigsaw because most of the nice ones had been sold long ago. So the one I bought was one of Downton Abbey, a picture of the cast of Downton Abbey. I actually found it quite satisfying to fit in the pieces and see the beautiful costumes and the setting become clearer, piece by piece, each adding a bit more to the picture. But when I got to the end, there was a piece missing. It was so frustrating. In fact, there were three pieces missing. But I'd worked all that time trying to get all these bits to fit together to make the picture, and there was this gap. Well, Jesus makes sense of the Old Testament fragments. He completes the picture. It was through the coming of Jesus that God fully revealed himself for now and for all time. As verse 2 tells us, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. There are echoes here, aren't there, of that passage that Sheila spoke on last week. In the beginning was the Word. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus, the living Word of God, with God from the beginning. In these last days, the days between Jesus' birth as a baby and the time when he will come back again, as he's promised, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. The Passion translation of this Hebrew passage calls Jesus the language of God. And in the notes it says, we speak in English, but God speaks in Son. Verse 3 tells us that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. And again, as the Passion puts it, the exact expression of God's true nature. Jesus himself is very clear. He told his disciples, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. God in Jesus was involved in the creation of all things and is involved in the sustaining of that creation. And that same power is what makes it possible for us to be put right with God. David Attenborough's latest series is called A Perfect Planet. And in one episode, he talks about how humans are spoiling that perfect planet. I don't think David Attenborough is a believer, But he's right about that, isn't he? When God created everything in the beginning, it was perfect. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it tells us he saw that it was very good. But the spoiling came when man and woman, the pinnacle of his creation, turned away from their creator and rejected his ways to live self-centered lives. We see evidence of that self-centeredness all around us, not only in our damaged environment, but in broken relationships, in injustice, in all kinds of abuse, in wars and dis-ease everywhere we look. Only God himself had the power and the plan out of his love for us to rescue his people. And he did just that in Jesus, by his death on the cross for you and for me. Jesus' almost incomprehensible sacrifice of himself on that cross is referred to in verse 3 of our passage in 7 short words. After he had provided purification for sins. It sounds simple, but the process and the cost to him is unimaginable. To pay the price for the sins of the whole world. And by putting our trust in what Jesus did on the cross, we are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, as the hymn puts it. And verse 3 tells us that when Jesus had done that, when he had given himself for us totally, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And he sat down because his work was complete. As he died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." And we should thank God every day for that, that Jesus finished his work. He lived and died, and most importantly of all, he gloriously rose again, ascended to his Father, and sent his Spirit to live in us. Death could not hold the Creator and Sustainer and Redeemer of all things. Now, all this is so big, it's so beyond our understanding in so many ways, and yet paradoxically, it's also so simple. God is real. He reveals himself to us clearly in Jesus who is alive today, and that is the most important thing of all. Later in this wonderful letter to the Hebrews, we have the verse, "Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever." I once heard someone say the difference between Christianity and all other religions or worldviews is that we have a living Saviour. To know that Jesus is alive and lives in us when we put our trust in him makes all the difference to our lives. This pandemic is so hard. It's so challenging, and many people are struggling. Whatever our situation, it's a struggle, and everyone's very weary. I think especially the families where the parents are trying to work and trying to educate their children at the same time. It's a real struggle. And there are all the other ordinary ups and downs of life as well that people are having to cope with. But this passage helps us and encourages us, as it encouraged those first believers, to hold on to the truth of our faith, to keep trusting the one who is alive and who promises again through this same letter, "I will never leave you or forsake you." A news commentator, speaking of the way out of the pandemic, recently said, "The vaccines are our salvation." That is not true. The vaccines are great, and we're very thankful to God for giving the skills to the scientists to produce them and for the help that they will be in relieving the lockdown. But the vaccines are not our salvation. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. And Jesus has completed his work. Nothing needs to be added, and nothing can be taken away. Jesus is enough for all and forever. In these last days, God speaks to us unmasked and unmuted in his Son, his living word, Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, alive today, able and longing to help us, whether we've been believers for many years or whether maybe we might be calling on him today for the first time. We all need the assurance of his Spirit living in us to guide us and help us on our journeys of discipleship. Of course, even when we know Jesus in this way, there will be tough times when we can't see the way forward, when we can't understand why things are as they are, when we might not feel that closeness of our Lord. But feelings don't alter facts. Just because it's cloudy sometimes doesn't mean that the sun and the stars are not still there. Whatever you are going through, whatever I am going through, he is in it with us as an insider, not watching from the sidelines. He knows all about it. He feels it. He cries or smiles with us. He understands, and he will give us the strength we need. Jesus is always here, always with and in those who receive him, those who believe in his name, those who belong to him. He will never let us down. So let's hold on. Let's keep trusting in the living word, Jesus, the clear and beautiful language of God. Shall we just pray? Take a few moments just to invite Jesus by his Holy Spirit to help us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, living Lord Jesus, into our lives afresh to renew us and strengthen us, to comfort and hold us, to equip us and empower us to live each day with you, to hear your voice, to know your love, and to overflow with that love towards others who so need you. Thank you for being our living Lord. Amen.